Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who is our peace. Amen. When you think of Jesus, what picture image comes to mind? Think about that for just a second. What picture image comes to mind when you think of Jesus? Is it a picture of him sitting surrounded by children, welcoming them in his arms? Is it a picture of him with long, flowing brown hair, with a finely trimmed beard, with a staff in his hand, guiding some sheep on a picturesque mountain range? Is it a picture of him with his hands like this, being surrounded by a mob of people, teaching them the word of God? Or is it a picture of him bending down on one knee, with a loving look in his eye, reaching out his hand to touch and to heal a crippled person? Well, whatever your image may be, I can guarantee you one thing, that it is not one of the ways that Luke depicts Jesus in our text this morning. In our short gospel text, Luke depicts Jesus in some unique ways. He depicts Jesus as a Savior who came to bring judgment, as a Savior who came to bring division, and as a Savior who dreads going to the cross. This is a far cry to common pictures that we may have about Jesus, especially images of him as a loving shepherd or as a Savior who loves the little children. This morning, we will look at these various images of Jesus that Luke presents for us. Picture one, Jesus came to bring judgment. It can be a strange thought for us to think that Jesus came to bring judgment. But listen to what our Savior says in verse 49. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Fire is a sign of judgment in the New Testament. Jesus says that he came to pronounce the righteous wrath and judgment of God against sinful humanity. Ultimately, though, this judgment will be seen on him when he is crucified on the cross. And as a result, he wants this judgment started or already kindled. He wants to reveal God's kingdom, not only through judgment, his death on the cross, but also through the revealing of his grace from the resurrection. He wants to have that painful and dreadful part of his ministry done and behind him. He looks forward to the completion of a good thing, his mission of bringing life and immortality to light through the resurrection. Jesus came to bring judgment, and he wishes that it were already started. Well, if that image wasn't strange enough, perhaps our next one might be. Picture two, Jesus is distressed about going to the cross. We don't often picture Jesus as being distressed about something or is not eager to do something for our salvation. But Luke presents him as such here. Jesus says in verse 50, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. When he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, he is referring to his suffering and his death on the cross. It is similar to today when we call a trying ordeal or situation a baptism by fire. But Jesus is distressed about going to the cross. The Greek word for distress, sunecho, implies being emotionally torn. He wants to go through with it, but on the other hand, he has some hesitancy about it. And rightfully so. It's like undergoing back surgery. A person needs it to function and to enjoy life, but there will be some apprehension because the surgery is painful and the road to recovery is long. Besides, physical therapy isn't fun. Jesus' distress about going to the cross is understandable. He's going to take the wrath and judgment of God upon himself. He's going to take the blame and responsibility for every sin that humanity has ever committed and will commit. That would cause me some distress. No wonder he is distressed. But fortunately, we'll never know what it's like to be in the wrong side of that wrath because of what our Savior has done for us. Fortunately, he still went through with it. So far this morning, Luke has given us two sides of Jesus that we don't often see. A Savior who came to bring judgment, and a Savior who is distressed about going to the cross. Let's see what our third image has in store for us. Picture three. Jesus came to bring division. Jesus says in verse 51, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." This is rather puzzling when we recall that Jesus often talked about showing love and mercy to one's neighbor, and yet he says he came to bring division. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, but he says that he didn't come to bring it. Jesus came to give us peace rather, a peace with God rather than an earthly peace. His kingdom is not of this world, and it is a peace that the world cannot give. Jesus says here, though, that following him and proclaiming his message of salvation will bring division. And in our day and age, this will be a reality. Society's beliefs on issues like homosexuality, marriage, human life, abortion, creation, gender identity, and tolerance shift against us. We are to expect division and hardship like Jesus did. The prophets faced it, the apostles faced it, the early Christians faced it, and so did the faithful Christians over the last two millennia. We should expect to face it too. We'd be naive to think that we won't. But Jesus continues on, though, by describing the depth of this division. He says, "From now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." This is not a trivial or light division. It's not like being a Blackhawks fan or a Wild fan or a Democrat or Republican or liking Star Wars instead of Star Trek. Following Jesus deeply divides because there is no middle ground with respect to him and his rule. You're either for him or you're against him. You either love him or you hate him. You either believe in him and confess him as Lord or you don't. You call him a liar. And this division can even divide families. The need to ally with Jesus relativizes every other attachment. The depth of Christ's commitment for us forces us to consider what is important. Are we willing to forsake all, even our most beloved relationships and possessions, for Christ and his kingdom? Jesus came to bring division. These are all certainly unique pictures of Jesus that Luke gives us. A Savior who has apprehension about the cross, and a Savior who came to bring division and judgment. But these unique and uncommon pictures of our Savior point us to and contain the most common picture of him. Picture 4. Jesus is our peace, and he took on God's judgment for us. This is the picture of Christ proclaimed all throughout Scripture, all the way from the book of Genesis until the book of Revelation. This is the picture of Christ that dominates the scene. For on the cross, he joyfully and willingly died for you and for me. He was willing to take the punishment and the judgment and wrath that we deserved upon himself. His love for us was far greater than his own distress. His concern for our need and for our well-being was greater than his own. He died to make us right with God and to give us the forgiveness that our broken and sinful lives so desperately need. And he rose for us so that we could have his peace. His peace is a peace that the world cannot give. His peace is a right relationship with God. It's not having your sins counted against you. His peace is a peace that is real, that has substance, and is a peace that will endure when the things of this people will fail and disappoint us. His peace is a gift, and it is freely given. We have been given this peace through baptism, where we have been made a part of God's family because of Christ. Even if we are forsaken by our biological families, we are still part of God's faith through Jesus. Nothing will ever change that. He will never leave, forsake, abandon, or forget those who are his own through what his Son has done for you. We are also given this peace daily, whenever we ask for it, and each and every week when we gather here in the Lord's name to receive his forgiveness. We are given this peace when we come to eat the very body and blood of the one who came to give us this peace. For his body and blood is the very thing that unifies us against the world that so deeply tries to divide us and to separate us from our Lord. We have a God who gives us his peace and who took on himself the punishment that we deserved. So whatever your image or picture of Jesus might be, it has one thing in common with all the rest. They all point to a loving Savior who is our peace and who took on himself the punishment that we deserved. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds, and with Christ Jesus, the one who is our peace. Amen.